Your old or broken phone can let you down. But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence with a new line on MyPlan and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. After all, you don't want your old phone to die on you when you're lost.
Perfect.
Or for your broken phone to glitch at the worst possible time.
Hey, can I get your number?
Oh. Trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad.
What's going on, Rugby Rant fans? It's the Hammer, and I'm back with our special segment that I have promised every one of you I would bring to you as we build up to 2025, and that is the Coach's Corner. And I'm delivering as promised with the Anthem, or as we know, it's known as Anthem Rugby Charlotte, right? And we have got, in my mind, an absolute legend. For you young bucks that haven't spent much time in this earth, that are maybe still playing a little footy age grades or in college, or perhaps maybe you're just entering the MLR. You probably haven't been alive long enough to know this gentleman and the skills and legendary status that he has. I have asked none other than All Black legend Alama Aramia to join the show to talk about the Anthem. Alama, welcome to the show, mate.
Yeah, thank you, Rob. Thank you, and it's a pleasure to obviously have this opportunity. So thank you. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to it.
Thank you very much, and the pleasure is absolutely all mine. As I've said, I wore this, folks, in honor of Alama, because I became, I'm talking back before, obviously before the internet, my mate, I had a mate of mine from Hawke's Bay, and his dad would say, after training on Thursday nights, his dad, he would bring in VHS tapes of all things, VHS tapes of, footy from New Zealand. Whether it be, minor 10 stuff, or whether it be as it got into Super League or All Blacks games. And it would be a month old, but we didn't care. We just enjoyed watching some great footy. And I became a Hurricanes fan back in the day, and I still am, and it's in part thanks to you. So I'm super excited. But I want to make this less about me, more about Alama. For those that don't know, or those that are new to the show and maybe new to rugby, just a little background on Alama, who's head coach of the Anthem. Started with Wellington, then when the Super League started, he joined the Wellington Hurricanes, went on to Suntory, Sungoliath, played for the New Zealand 15s, played for the New Zealand Barbarians, or Babas as they're known, also played for the Samoa 15s and 7s, and of course New Zealand 15s and 7s as well. So we're talking about very rarity here, two country caps in both codes, 15s and 7s, and that's why he's a legend.
I feel like a dinosaur when he went through that list, Rob. But many moons ago.
Yeah, I hear you. All I have to do is step onto a pitch and try to play in an old boys game, and I feel like a dinosaur. Every bone in my body feels like one. At any rate, we've come to talk about Anthem Rugby Charlotte. And I want to get busy on that So, Coach, are you ready for this Coach's Corner interview?
Absolutely. I'm really looking forward to it. Really looking forward to sharing my experiences to date, and obviously the future and the vision, you know, around these couple of programs that I'm involved with, and really the pathway moving forward. So I've been around long enough to actually see some really, really good, you know, good feeling and having a good vibe about a program and a project. And certainly this is one of those ones. So I'm quite excited to be part of it.
Awesome. We're excited to share it with our fans. And we'll talk about projects in a moment, but we're going to real quick get that introductory segment to our Coach's Corner. So, Coach's Corner, we want to start with the easy stuff, perhaps that low-hanging fruit, the stuff that I know that you've clearly begun to think about with your staff as we head to MLR 2025 and the anthem. So the first question is, every season brings new challenges. I mean, last season just was a challenge just getting a team, you know, with boots on in the grass. I think this season you guys are much more prepared, clearly, with building the roster, which we'll get into. But I want to talk about the challenges at UC. What is one challenge, perhaps one of the biggest challenges, that you see ahead for Anthem Rugby Charlotte?
Thanks for the question, Rob. I think one of the big challenge or a key challenge is to really bring this group together quickly and make sure that we're aligned right from the start. I think it's easy to sort of say that we've got a lot of experienced players here, and obviously we've got a lot of exciting young talent. But like many squads, if you really want to have a successful season, it's important that you actually knit the framework and put everything together in the right way right from the start. And that involves being clear on your expectations, on the vision, the goal, and obviously the values of the side. So I think it's a challenge in a way that that we have to sort of start again in some areas of the program, but then also continue some of the good work that actually happened last year. So that's sort of probably my initial stab at that question, Rob.
You know, you mentioned the idea of alignment, and it's something that perhaps we hear a lot as a buzzword, but we overlook it, if you will. It doesn't get perhaps understood well enough. And anybody like yourself that's been part of a much bigger program understands how important alignment is, whether it is goals or vision or expectations. So we know that's a key component. And I want to delve into that a little bit because, as you say, you wear multiple hats out there in Charlotte. Anthem is intended to be both a pathway and an opportunity for potential Eagles to get quality minutes together, something that's been identified as an issue for a number of years. How difficult is it to provide both this pathway and compete in a professional sports organization? So you're both trying to prepare for the national team a bit, but you're also trying to, I mean, be involved in a business.
Yeah, that's right. And I suppose the word that you used there, Rob, is really about the balance, is getting the balance right. And making sure that, once again, the word of alignment, you know, what particular alignment is very important for the anthem moving forward. Well, from my end, as a head coach, it's really important that the purpose of the anthem feeds into the Eagles what it was designed to do. And so in terms of providing minutes for players that will go on and perform in the Eagles, I think that's a really important alignment that needs to happen. Also, the development of players in the anthem to forecast when they're ready for the Eagles. I think that's really important because, you know, it's not just this year. It's about the future. We have a couple of very exciting young players that that obviously need to develop throughout the next couple of years. So getting that alignment sort of ironed out with the Eagles is really important. And it's a benefit that I'm actually, you know, I can sort of bring those two together, because obviously I work with the Eagles as well. So that's a really key one in terms of player progression, or, you know, into the Eagles. And you had a really good note there around the minutes. And I know Scott Lawrence has done a lot of really good work around meaningful minutes, is the way that he puts it, in terms of making sure that we get that into the players that are going to go on and perform in the Eagles environment.
Yeah, so you're wearing multiple hats in both of these roles. Do you find it's pretty easy for you to, you know, take one hat off and take another hat on, and or is it more that things are so aligned that you don't really have to think about what role you're playing? You have an understanding of how these two kind of pathways fit together, and how you're going to manage. For example, I just think about something like, all right, so you're in the middle of the season. God forbid, you know, an injury or two hits the team, and now you got to play an Eagle pathway player more than you had hoped. You know, how do you manage making those tough decisions? I guess is kind of a more dialed in type of approach to this question.
Yeah, I think it's a really good question, and a very valid one, especially when it comes to the Eagles. I think it's the key point that I'm trying to make, Rob, is that I don't sort of make those decisions on my own. Obviously, with Scott involved with the Eagles, and having that alignment with not only the coaching staff, but obviously the medical staff, just making sure that we have some really clear understandings around what we're actually doing with players. And in terms of their plans, their development plans, that's probably going to be very key to the Anthem environment, is making sure that we have that each player actually understands where his development point is, you know, and what are the areas that they need to focus on so they can progress through the Anthem, but then also have an opportunity to have a crack at a game on the weekend. You know, winning and development are probably the two key things that I'm going to be sort of trying to, you know, they're the two balls that I'm going to be trying to balance, Rob, around our campaign. You know, we're going to have games where we need to win, but then also we need to think about particular players and giving them the right amount of minutes so that they can actually then be ready for later campaigns. So it is a big balancing act, but I'll go back to my point at the start. It's not just me, you know, there's some really good people that are behind the scenes that do a lot of the work that'll make sure that we get to those goals.
So I guess, fans, you know that the boys, not only from the Anthem, but those fellows that are playing with both the Anthem and the Eagles, are in good hands, if you haven't picked up on that. They're going to be well-managed and well-cared for. Now, you know, again, some of those old-timers like myself may remember watching you playing for the All Blacks and the Hurricanes and whatnot, but they may not necessarily be as familiar with your work as a coach. You know, again, you coached for the Hurricanes. You coached for both at the, you know, at the NPC level as well as at the Super League level. A couple other coaching stints. Samoa, Auckland head coach there. You're with Suntory as an assistant coach. So you have a lot of coaching experience. For those that don't know, how would you describe your coaching style to fans that haven't spent a day, you know, watching a training session or gone in the sheds when you're coaching the boys?
I feel like I'm back at school, Rob, with that type of question. My style of coaching is really about bringing the best out of the players that you've got together, in terms of making sure that they can actually play with the freedom and express the skills that they've actually got, or the skills that you're trying to obviously coach into them. And I have a very open mind about the game in terms of letting players express their skills. And I think the talent needs to come through that. some of us coaches here would probably understand the term of overcoaching and coaching the skill out of a player, and that's a very dangerous sort of position to be in. But my style is really about giving the player the confidence to actually express the skill that they actually have, and having that ability to grow confidence that they can actually utilize that in certain positions. And obviously the higher you go, the more pressure comes, and there's nothing better than seeing a player back his skill sets and keep building on that confidence to actually express himself. So I'm a coach that that likes to bring that out, and I do that in many different methods, obviously. And the one method I really like is to be hard, but also fair. I like to coach in that sort of framework, being harsh on what you're dealing with, but then also just being fair and giving the ability for the players to express themselves. So I'm glad I had a little bit of time to explain that, because I think I took forever explaining that, Rob.
No, it's all good. It's interesting that you bring this up, because somebody you know well, Brandon Sparks, of course, the GM for the Anthem, he posted something recently. I don't know if you had seen it, but what you'd said about avoid overcoaching kind of really resonated with me, because the graphic he put up was about U8s and U14s, and the insinuation, and he put it up, I think, just a couple days ago, and for folks who don't know, we're recording this right here in the middle of December, put it up a couple days ago, and more or less what it was saying is, you know, we got to be careful about, you know, let them develop and let them have fun and enjoy the game and be able to express themselves, as you said, and don't be so nitpicky about the rules and specific strategies that you're trying to, you know, develop into the game, because you're almost you'll lose the flair and the fun that really is what makes this a beautiful game, right?
Absolutely, Rob. Absolutely, and I think you've just hit it on the head. You know, you want to see a player have the confidence to play and to express himself or herself, you know, because to a certain point, they've actually got the skills that been coached by previous coaches, you know, coaches that they had when they were younger, and the skills that they've developed through that. And you want to bring that to the forefront. Conversely, you know, there might be skills that they probably don't need, or, you know, you got to get on, or habits that you need to actually be firm on to make sure that they don't get in the way of their development. So it's a little bit of a balancing act, but the most important for me is, yeah, you'll get a lot of satisfaction and joy from watching somebody express the skill that they actually developed, and there's nothing better than watching them express that in a game. And it could be a last minute try, it could be quick hands, they actually get somebody over the line, or a tackle, or, you know, those are the ones that you get a real big buzz out of, because, you know, that's the juice of why I coach, is just to see that in particular players, and especially if players you've had from when they were young, and you've sort of gone through with them all the way to the top in the test level. So it's great to see those skills come through.
I agree. There's nothing better than watching an athlete perform and reach and achieve their greatest ability, and the pride and success that they get out of it is such a joy to watch. You know, it's interesting. Just thinking about all that you just said about, you know, bringing the best out of individuals and letting them, their skill set, you know, shine through, makes me just think about, you know, again, how you get the best out of players and how you can help bring about that skill set. So for folks that don't know, Alam and I were talking about, he was telling me a story about Eric Storty, and he talked about one of the questions he asked Eric, just to get to know him a little bit. Let me ask you this, just a quick thought. In much the same vein, if you were to ask a player whether they like to, what would be their favorite type of play? Big hit, big score, or a big assist? What do you think would be your favorite thing to see in a player? You're trying to coach along and see them develop, where you go, yes, and you can see the joy in their face.
Oh, I the team culture side of me and the process side of me is probably leaning towards the player that actually assist, or the player that fed somebody else or did something for his teammate to get over the trial line. You know, that skill set is and especially if it's is a strength, or sorry, it was a skill that he had to develop as he was coming through, and
yeah,
you know, he gave the winning try because it was a quick hand. So, but personally for me, I probably get the biggest buzz out of smashing people because that was that's what I love doing. So that was taking it back to the day when you didn't worry too much about technique. It was just about smashing people.
A Samoan all the way to his core right there. Right. So we're talking about excitement. Let's turn our attention and our excitement in a little different way. What excites you about coaching the Anthem, coaching in the MLR, and coaching for the United States Eagles?
Oh, geez. I'll try and answer it in this way initially, Rob, is if you put all those three teams together or the competitions together, what excites me is the fact that I get to create player depth from the bottom that goes all the way through to the top in the Eagles, and having a gauge and having an effect on what that looks like for the future. And that's what excites me the most. As an example, developing a player, a young player, you know, we've got a lot of them in our team, and just having a say in how he develops and putting a plan in place that will last maybe, you know, 4 to 5 years, and having an impact on that particular player to go right through to the Eagles. You know, obviously the moonshot with 2031, it would be nothing better to sit there. You know, I don't know what I'll be doing around that time, but then just to watch some of these players that you know that, you know, you had a big part in developing them to get to that sort of point, that to me excites me. And you know, for those that don't know, that's what I've been doing it for a long, long time, because that's where I get my juices from, is to develop these players to fulfill their potential.
Yeah, it's funny because the day of this recording, Bill Belichick, obviously, for those that don't know him, famous New England Patriots head football coach, won, you know, 6 or 7 Super Bowls or whatever it is. At the core, what makes him great is he loves to develop players. And I think that's the hallmark of really, really good coaches, right? Is they enjoy watching players and helping players develop and achieve their greatest heights.
And I think, yeah, 100%, Rob. And I think a little bit of history about myself is that it's also the flip side of that as well, is that I'm repaying a blessing that I got from rugby. Mm. You know, rugby was very good to me. You know, I'm a son of a minister that I was supposed to be in the church preaching in the church, mate, because my dad's a minister of religion. But, you know, I came across rugby, and it blessed me with a lot of different opportunities. And, you know, somebody from Samoa that just went to New Zealand for education, came across rugby, played rugby, and then coached rugby, and then, the timing just turned out. It went professional, and then I just stuck it out, and here I am. You know, I'm still doing it after 19 years. This is my 19th year of coaching elite sports, so elite rugby team. So the juices are definitely there, but that's the reason why I love doing it, because, you know, it's been good to me, and I want to make sure I'm good to it as well, and do what I'm supposed to do, is, you know, just make sure we get better at the sport.
You know, you're bringing a tear to my eye, Llama. I'm about to cry, because, you know, it's funny. I coach wrestling, and we're in season right now. And one of the things that I've through the years said to all my athletes is, as I said, I've been involved in wrestling for almost 40 years of my life, right? It's a great sport. I love rugby more, but wrestling has been an incredible sport. And what I always say is, I still have not repaid the debt that sport gave to me. And rugby has done the same. It's given me a lot of things, a lot of opportunities, just like you. And I have a feeling I'll be repaying that debt for a long time too. So I feel for you right there. Let's go back. I want to circle back to something you said earlier. You talked about the idea of winning and development, and maybe I had prepared a question, but I'm going to curtail it a little bit, because in rugby, there's a lot of talk about KPIs, key performance indicators. Is winning and developing players, would you say that those are your two KPIs for the season, or is there anything else you would add to that?
I think the development part is, you know, now that, well, this is the second year, obviously, of the anthem, and going through it last year in a rushed way, and then just going through the Eagles again with Scott, and, you know, more time together and starting to build the systems that we need in place for the Eagles. I now have a very clear understanding and a vision around the anthem and its role, really about the development side, to make sure that we actually feed the Eagles. Don't get me wrong, I am I'm a coach that actually coaches team to win. It's one of my fundamental things around making sure that we get the best out of our performances so that we can get the win. But the development factor is something that's really major for us this year. Hence the reason why I went into a little bit of detail around individual plans for the players and ensuring that the coaches are on top of that, because a player still needs to develop if he's not playing on Saturday. You know, we've got squads of 34 or 35, or, you know, there's only 23 obviously that can play every week. What are the roles of the rest of those 10 players, or depending on injuries, you know, making sure that their week is still focused on development, it's still focused on engaging in a particular way to help the team. But you know, you just can't have players sort of left behind on their own. And it's a lesson that I've learned from this last season. And it's very exciting because the caliber of players, which I'm sure we'll talk about a little bit later, the caliber of players we have now, there's some real genuine competitions amongst the positions to be picked for Saturday. So that in itself creates competition, creates development. It creates a lot of different areas of tension that you can actually grow players as well. You know, adversity is one of the best things to actually grow a player. So, you know, there's exciting times around that and how players deal with that for their own individual sort of paths in the program.
You know, it's interesting that you do talk about this idea of depth and a lot of competition within the squad and what excites you about the personnel that's been brought in for 2025. So I want to strike right into that. For folks in Charlotte or anybody that's a fan of the Anthem or anybody in the MLR who really is looking to see the Anthem take that next step in its progression from last season, who are some of the off-season signings that have been brought in to Charlotte that really fans should keep their eye on week to week because they're going to be difference makers for the squad?
Thanks, Rob. I think first and foremost, I think the players that a lot of our fans, especially here in Charlotte, sort of need to understand is that we've actually brought some Eagles, some current Eagles into the squad. Obviously, we've had Jake Turnbull, who was our captain. You know, Jake Turnbull, Alex Morn, Sam Golla. We also have got Eric Storty, as I mentioned, Mitch Wilson in the backs, Connor Moynihan, you know, and we've got a couple of players that are just sort of borderline in the wider squad. So, also, you know, a first time Eagle this last few weeks, Mike Grandy, you know, he's a new Eagle, but obviously in the Anthem as well. So I think those are the exciting signings that we've actually got in the Anthem. Automatically, you can see that, you know, the expectation and the standard around some of those positions is now going to be a lot different than what we had last year. And then if I just sort of look at the young players that have actually come through, players like EJ Freeman or a player like Lene Latu at first five that, you know, has come into the program again for us this year. And, you know, we've got youngsters in the front row like Quinton Tindall and Ethan Howard. You know, there's a lot of competition in the loose forwards, as an example. Alejandro, Graham Pedigana, who we had. We picked up McKean. Obviously, he was down south with the Dallas team. And we've got a real depth in that position in terms of competing in the loose forwards. And we've got Dylan Fortune, who put his hand up last year, obviously, with the 20s, and Colin Turner. And, you know, there's a real depth there of positions of players that I think is going to add a lot of excitement into the squad. So I know a lot of the players there, a lot of people won't know, but I'm certainly quite excited about some of the new signings because, you know, their development is really key. I think to finish off around the squad, the players that actually were there last season and their development, Junior Ngafa being obviously the rookie of the year for the MLR, I mean, his development this year is going to be quite exciting to watch because he's got a little bit of competition with him, you know. So I think, I just think it's a well-balanced squad, and we've done a lot in behind the scenes to actually get this squad together. And and the minutes are going to be really important because, it, as I mentioned, it flows into the next campaign that hopefully a lot of these players will be involved in.
Alama, every time you answer a question, about five different questions come to my mind that I want to talk about. And I wish we had a lot more time to talk about them. We have to catch up some other time. But nevertheless, a couple of things that really resonated with me. First of all, love Jake Turnbull. He might be one of my top, and I've done probably 150 interviews over the course of this podcast of just one-on-one interviews, and he might be one of my top two or three. He's just such a great guy. I love him. Love him the bits as a person. I couldn't imagine a better person to be captain last season than Jake. And you go over that list of players that are going to be playing, especially those that are included, you know, in that Eagles development group. And I'm sitting there going, well, you know, fans, if you don't have a team in your city, root for the Anthem. Because they are America's team. They truly have a great representation. And then the last thing I will mention, Junior Gaffa. What an absolute find, mate.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, in New England, he's going to have a tough time finding opportunities and minutes. He goes down to the Anthem and rookie of the year.
Well, I'll let you know, Robin. I think a lot of people that are in our scene sort of know, but Junior is actually my nephew. So when I came when I came,
nepotism at its best.
Yeah, nepotism at its best. You know, I was when I first arrived here last year, and my cousin over in on the West Coast, he said, "Oh, hey, Junior's now floating around, blah blah blah," and I was like, "Oh, is he playing rugby now?" And long story short, I said, "Well." Let's have a look, and you know, there might be an opportunity over here. And you know, credit to our pathway boys and obviously Scott. You know, he managed to actually make it into the Anthem this year, and I was really happy because you know, he's in a position that I obviously played in, and it was really nice to actually be able to bring him through. So yeah, he did really, really well, Rob. And the thing about his what's fundamental in Junior's sort of personality is he always wants to get better. He always wants to learn. He always wants to, you know, take his game to another level. And I think that in itself sort of speaks volumes of where sort of Junior wants to get with his rugby. And I think that's why, you know, he's got a big future. But he's a hell of a player. He's still got a lot of work to do, but he's done really well.
Yes, he has. Yes, he has. So speaking of rookies, the Anthem were extremely busy, and Sparks loves the draft. Anybody who knows Brandon Sparks knows he loves the draft almost as much as Fitzy down there in NOLA. You guys worked yourselves into 6 draft picks for this upcoming season. obviously Eric Storti. You got Trainer at number two, Panter at 5, 13 Freeman, LaDon Mathis at 25, Shawnee Staples at number 26 in the 2024 draft. So got two questions here. One, I think you can answer. The other one, you may have to pass it off to Sparks and he can come back on the show sometime and answer. But how many of these guys do we think have that ability to contribute in 2025? Like Junior Gaffer did.
Well, I think that's an awesome question to answer, Rob. And the exciting part is I don't really have an answer to it until we actually come together and see where they actually get to. I suppose all I know is that some of the younger players that actually we had come in late in the Anthem last year, who were just there for obviously development. Rather than playing, they progressed very, very quickly in the environment of competing and putting themselves forward. And these young players now, there is no restrictions really about, minutes or whatever it is in terms of not being able to play. Because if they train well and they develop well and they're up for it, then age is not the problem. It's if you're good enough, you're old enough. So I'm taking that approach around a lot of these young players coming through. So they're going to be pushing their cases, which is fantastic, because it's just an awesome competition amongst young players, and then there's a mid-level of tier players that want to get better and want to make it into the Eagles, and then obviously there's the Eagle boys that, they also have to make sure that they perform, because, Scott will be watching their form. So I suppose I've just answered that question in a longish way to sort of say that if a young player is good enough, he will feature like Junior did. And Junior wasn't the only one. We had other players that actually put their hands up as well.
Absolutely. I want to focus a little bit more as we begin to round down this interview. And one of the biggest things is just a couple of weeks ago, as of this recording, the MLR released the schedule. And I've been talking to coaches since that came out. I've been talking to coaches about the schedule. And I'm not going to ask you whether you like it or not. I think most coaches will answer, it doesn't really matter whether I like it or not. The point is we've got to carry on and we've got to do our best to manage through some of those difficult periods in the schedule. And the Anthem probably have one of the more challenging stretches. The 13th, April 13th at Chicago, then you go on the 18th, just 5 days later, playing New England at home. Then 5 days after that, playing Seattle at home. Then traveling 4 days later at Miami. Four games in 15 days. How do you plan to manage this difficult stretch in this 15-day period?
It's a good question, Rob, and I'm really glad that you asked me, because I was surprised when someone else asked me that question, and they were surprised at my answer, because I said to them, I don't know what the problem is, because I've been used to that type of schedule, because in New Zealand we have what we call storm weeks, and so this is a storm week, and that the days vary. Obviously, we have midweek games, and you have the travel factor and all that, so. It's actually been part of my sort of tournaments and campaigns for the last probably 6 years back home. So I suppose a long-winded way to answer your question is the managing of the 36 is a very important – the players is a very important part, Rob. You've got to make sure that, which are the targeted games that you need to focus on, and then obviously the spread of the players and – how you train, how you recover, what do you put the focus on? It's that's all part of the preparation that you have to get right. And I'll go back to one of my key points that I mentioned at the start of the campaign of our interview, was around overcoaching. You got to make sure that you don't overcoach with compact games and storm weeks like that. You can't overcoach, and I think that managing of the players and the content to actually get the team ready is going to be key. So the full squad will be put to test, but it's about managing and how you utilize your staff also is really important. You've got to manage the staff to make sure you get the best result.
Well, I've interviewed several coaches, and that's the first time that I've heard a coach say, I don't know what the problem is. Most of them say, we identify there's an issue. Yeah, we're not used to it in the MLR, but we've got to manage it. But what's interesting, folks who are watching, is that everybody complained about it when it first came out. The reality is, as Alama said, you know, it's par for the course in New Zealand. It's par for the course in many of the countries where you have the idea of a storm week. And you've just got to, you know, you've got to manage the roster and you got to work with the fellows. And I like that comment about the content, right? Sometimes if you throw too much in too short a time, it stifles development rather than helps improve it.
Absolutely, Rob. Absolutely.
All right. Last question. I've thoroughly enjoyed everyone. It's almost like with each one I do, they get better and better and more enjoyable. Picking through the minds of very, very bright minds in the MLR. Last question, this is more of a zoomed out approach. Obviously, we've talked about wearing multiple hats with both the Anthem and the Eagles. We've talked about alignment, but let's talk more specifically about this project, Moonshot 2031. And in particular, the segment that we're in the middle of, which is Project Gemini. Have the Eagles achieved up to this point in Project Gemini mission success?
Oh, geez, I don't want to answer that one. I think that's a question for Scott, Rob. He's probably the best to answer that. But I suppose if I had to comment on the Eagles campaign to date, I know you and me were talking a little bit earlier about it, but there's a real deliberate and purposeful approach to how we go into these campaigns around making sure that we are getting better as a squad and obviously building towards the qualifications next year. I think Scott's done a magnificent job of managing the players and making sure that, you know, we have a bigger squad now of players who generally speaking understand where they stand and what they need to do. And I think that clarity around what they need to do and where they sit in the picture, I think that can only be a strength for us moving forward, because it creates certainty in terms of clarity of where they need to go and where they stand. But then also it adds a lot of competition, and the MLR is going to be very important for the Eagle players to put their hands up, because, you know, somebody might have thought that they were, you know, they had that position locked down, but now there's about two or three other guys knocking on the door just to make sure that, you know, if you slip, then they'll take your position. So not sure if I answered your question, though, Rob, but I feel like certainly from my end, which is a tech coach, I think we're getting better the more minutes that we actually play with the players. And we tend to be playing better in November, which naturally and obviously because we've had a lot more time together. So, I'm excited about it. I'm absolutely excited. And especially now with the Anthem and my role, you know, there's a real deliberate focus on some positions attack-wise that I'll make sure it extends right through the two programs.
You talk about the bigger squad, the depth in squad, and it harkens. Now, I'm not trying to make comparisons, but I think it's important and relevant. Just a couple of weeks ago, I saw somewhere on social media that South Africa, the Springboks, had posted they had used like something like 60 players in their larger squad that had gotten minutes within what the last, was it year or 2 years? Or maybe it was since the World Cup, I guess.
Yeah. I think it was over 2 years, yeah.
And the fact that I can now say, at least to a degree, the Eagles are running in that direction, right? I mean, you like you said, no one player has a position locked down. You know, there's somebody knocking on the door, somebody saying, putting their hand up, I'll have a go at it. And that's a beautiful thing to see in this American squad.
Yeah, well, is you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out the end result of that, Rob. You know, if there's competition, then the standard actually lifts and then everything better. So, I'm excited because, you know, there's only one way you can head if we start looking at the picture that way. So, and once again, you know, all credit to Scott and his vision and what he's done for us moving forward, you know, and that's what gets my juices going. And obviously my role now is to make sure the Anthem feed into that.
Yeah, well, I know that you'll do one hell of a job. You've already done so much for not just the Anthem, but for the larger Eagle squad. And I love to see where both are going. As I said, folks, if you don't have a favorite team, perhaps if you're a former Dallas fan and need some place to need a cap to put on, you can make it an Anthem cap because there's certainly a lot going for it in a big part thanks to this man, Alama Aramia. Coach, it's been an absolute joy and pleasure for me to sit down with you and talk rugby for, you know, 45 minutes. I sincerely, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. And every morsel, I picked up morsels here and there, and every one of them have been taken art. I certainly appreciate it, sir.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much, Rob. Very humbling to get the opportunity. And thank you very much. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. And it's, you know, I'm excited about sharing what we're trying. And hopefully it gives a little bit more insight in behind the scenes of what Anthem and how important it is for American rugby. And it's a privilege for me. Every day I actually do this job. So I'm quite excited. And last note is, really, you know, Charlotte is where we're based and we want to make this our home. We've had fantastic support and we're really looking forward to that. You know, they came and supported us last year and we're hoping to grow that again. So, you know, we'll be out in the community and, you know, if anybody needs anything, just let me know and let our people know and, you know, we'll make sure that we look after you guys. So, yeah, appreciate all the support. Thank you very much, Rob, for the opportunity.
The pleasure has been all mine. And folks, what was really fun is behind camera, behind the scenes, before we started, Alama told me a great story about Eric Storti, the up and comer. And I'm not going to put it on here. At some point, I'll corner Alama. We'll get it on recording. I'll release it for everybody. But for those that are in Charlotte, if you have a chance this season and you have an opportunity to talk to Alama, let him tell a great story about young Eric Storti. It's just a joy for anybody who's a rugby fan and who watches both international and in the MLR. It was a joy to hear. But once again, this is the Coaching Corner segment. I'm Rob the Hammer Hammerschmidt. We appreciate Alama Aramia, coach of the Anthem, for joining us. And we hope that you'll continue to check back with the Rugby Rant as we continue to bring you quality content, because we're looking to grow rugby one fan at a time. And we do it with great minds like this, Alama Aramia joining us. And continue to check back with us as we'll continue our Coach's Corner segment as we progress towards the 2025 MLR season. I know you're chomping at the bit. I'm chomping at the bit. And I damn well know that this man is chomping at the bit to get the season rolling. Thank you so much, friends. And we'll see you, everybody, at...
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.